Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to 2 Chronicles 31. I should have Everly come up and tell us this story because we went in our class last week. Oh, no. Come on. I love you. Yeah, yes, you do. I bet you do. Remember this part right here where King Hezekiah? Remember he's getting the temple ready to have all the people come back in? And remember the priests and the Levites, they needed something. Do you remember that? What did they need? A little bit? A lot. They needed a lot. That's correct. So Hezekiah is getting the temple ready again, and he's asking people to bring stuff in. But before he does that, he gave an offering. Do you remember that? Was it a small offering? It was a big offering, yes. So the king led the people. And as I was saying earlier, leadership really makes a difference. If you have a leader that's serving the Lord, we can see this to the nation of Israel, that when there was a good king, what happened to the people? They made good decisions, good choices, right? They chose to follow after whatever the king was doing. When there was a bad king, what happened to the nation? Boom! They went right down the drain, right? They made bad choices. And that's the same true today, right? Can you see this in history? When you have a bad king or you have a bad president or you have a bad leader in your nation, then what happens? Then people tend to go and do their own thing. Amen? But this was a season of doing good. And this was a king that chose to go back and to rebuild the temple and get things going again. Amen? And so it says, okay, we'll just go ahead and read it. Well, you have to read the whole thing. Here, can we grab her a mic real quick? Here, we'll just start for this one right here in verse 3. How about that? Is that all right? Okay, start in verse 3. Is it on? Yep, it's on. So hold it close. Right here.
The king gave some of his own possessions to the temple. He gave them for the morning and evening burnt offerings. He gave them for the burnt offerings for every Sabbath day. He gave them for burnt offerings for every new moon feast. He gave them for the burnt offerings for every yearly appointed feast. He did it in keeping with what was written in the law of the Lord. Hezekiah gave an order to the people who were living in Jerusalem. He commanded them to give the priests and Levites the share they owed him.
Them.
The priests and Levites could give their full attention to the law of the Lord. The order went out. Right away, people of Israel began to give freely.
Perfect. Stop there. That's perfect. You can hold that. So he gives the order, but first he gives to all of these feasts, right? So he's giving himself. And that's really important when you have a leader in your life. You want to take note, are they giving? If they're not a giving person, guess what? That stops the flow in your life. There's one of the Psalms, now I can't remember the exact one. It's in the 130-something, where it talks about that brothers dwell together in unity. And then it talks about the oil being poured forth, starting with the head of Aaron, that means at the top, and running down his beard. That's an illustration of if the top is right with God, if things are going well there, then the blessing flows down to the people. Does that make sense? And so it's important to be watching who you're putting yourself under. Amen? Who am I putting myself under? If it's someone who is not giving, if it is someone who is not kind, if it is someone who is not opening up their hearts to the Lord themselves, if they are not serving themselves. Listen to me, people. I don't care who you are in what church. We can never get too lofty that we can't serve. When our church gets really big one day, guess what I'm going to have all of our pastors doing? They're all going to take turns cleaning the toilets. Why? Because we can't come to the point where we are so lofty we can't bend down and do something to serve others. And that is serving your people. Does that make sense? So you need to make sure that the top is doing what the Lord is commanding them to do. Amen? And then he gives the cry out to the people. And he says, I've given, so now I'm saying to you, you need to give. Amen? The top should always be doing it first before they tell the people. This is the way it should go. This is the order, the godly order that we have. Amen? And it says he asked them to give. And then it says, can you read that right there, starting there, just that sentence?
Right away, the people of Israel began to give freely.
Did they wait? Did they wait days? Did they wait weeks? Did they wait months? No. Somebody say right away. And then how did they give? How did they give?
Freely.
They gave freely. We talked about this last week in her class, that it's an attitude of the heart. Amen. They didn't come begrudgingly. They didn't come with sour faces. They came freely of their own accord. Nobody was up there going, all right, Jude, did you give yours? I don't see it on here. Sarah, did your family give your? You see what I'm saying? They weren't required. They gave freely. Okay, so then we're going to skip down to verse 5, right there.
The order
went. Oh, wait, no, we already read that part. So this part right here.
They gave the first share of the harvest of their grain.
Wait, they gave what? The first. Not the leftovers. They gave the first. Go ahead.
They also gave the first share of everything else. Their fields produced. They brought a large amount.
What kind of amount? Large amount. A very large amount. And then it says down in verse 8.
Hezekiah and his officials came and saw the piles.
What's another word for piles? Did we learn last week? Starts with H. Huge, but remember it's H-E,
heaps.
So piles or heaps.
When they did, they praised the Lord and they blessed his people Israel.
Okay, so they brought so much. It was in piles or heaps. Praise the Lord. That is, you know what that tells me? If they brought their first, they had a very prosperous season. Amen. They brought their first and they had so much, it was creating piles or heaps. And later in the passage, you'll read that Hezekiah, when he saw the piles and the heaps, he turned to the people and said, guys, we got to build some storehouses. Somebody say amen. Amen. Amen for storehouses, right? There was so much that they had to build storehouses to be able to fill them with the heaps that they had so they could be good stewards. Somebody say a good steward. You need to be a good steward of what the Lord gives you. Amen? Piles and heaps. And here's the cool part. When the people brought their offering, what did the leadership do? What does it say right here?
They praised the Lord.
They praised the Lord. Somebody say amen. They praise the Lord. When we bring our offering as an act of worship, others will praise the Lord with us. How many times have we gotten an amazing seed that's been sown in this church, and we have shared with you about the heaps or the piles that have come in, and what have you all done? Woo! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! It creates an atmosphere of worship, right? And that's what happened. And then the second part. Read the second part.
And they blessed his people, Israel.
So not only were they praising, but they turned around and blessed the people. I don't know about you, but there is something exciting when leadership above you blesses you. Amen. What does that do? That's a release. That's saying, hey, get under the beard. Not that I have a beard. I'm not saying I have a beard. But I'm just figuratively speaking, the beard, the oil's dripping. Come on. Get under the blessing. What is oil a symbol of? The Holy Spirit, right? That's his anointing that is flowing off of the leadership onto the people, and they're blessed. Amen? So I'm going to say to you today, we have storehouses from the heaps and the piles that are coming in. Hallelujah. But guess what? I can make bigger storehouses for the bigger heaps and the bigger piles that the Lord is bringing in, because you, the people, are so blessed that there will be an overflow when you bring your firsts. Somebody needs to get excited about this. This is supernatural things that can happen in our lives. And you may say, well, we're going into the holiday season there. You know, I'm all, no. We're going to go into the holiday season, and we're not going to have one bit of red showing in the church or in your lives. We're going to go out having storehouses at the end of this year. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. And I say today, Praise the Lord for all that you have brought in. Praise the Lord. I praise the Lord for that. But now I say, be blessed, the people of Redeemed Church, for the offerings and the tithes and the missions and the seeds that you have sown into every good work. I say, be blessed in the name of Jesus. Be fruitful and multiply in your finances, not 30, not 60, but 100-fold in this season. I speak the blessing of the Lord on you, a wealth that has no sorrow, that every one of your needs is met in the name of Jesus, and you will have more than enough to give to every good work. And the people of Redeemed Church said, amen, or so be it. Woo! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Everly, for helping today. I appreciate it. Give her a hand. Woo! So let's grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Are you excited to give? I know I'm excited to give. What an amazing story, right? God is so faithful. Our offering is an act of worship. And that's what we have to remember. Our offering is an act of worship. When you come in and you end the worship time, it doesn't end. I want you to get this cemented in your heart because this is our last week. Get this cemented in your heart that your offering is just an extension of that worship time, that you are coming to honor him and to worship him with the firsts. With the firsts. Amen? And say today, I am increasing. My firsts are going to blow away those that do the tithes and offerings. And eventually my church, when they hear of the blessing, praises will come. Praises will come. Praises will come as people rejoice with me. And I receive the blessing that comes upon me and my family as I bring my offering. In Jesus' name. Woo! Let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Woo! Thank you, Lord.
And thank you, Father, for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today in this message. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Hey, have a couple of these handy with you during the holiday season, too. These are the Redeemed Church kind of invitation cards. They have information about the church on the back of it. A lot of people this time of year, I think depression, suicide goes up, all these crazy things. Why? Because there's a devil that wants to steal, kill, and destroy from people. And this little thing is a seed you can put in someone's hand. You can even, if you're on social media, you can take a picture of it and share it on your social media outlets. Even if they don't even live around here, they could log on to our YouTube page or the website and just get some encouragement. How many know people just need encouragement this type of the year? And church ought to be a place we come to get encouraged, not torn down. And Jesus didn't say he came to destroy his people. No, he came to destroy the works of the devil. So he is a builder, a carpenter, to build up his people, but he also is here to demolition some things. Amen. The works of the devil. So just have a few of those with you, and if you hear of anybody just sharing things out of their heart that just sounds forlorn and depressed and sorrowful, just give them that and say, hey, I'll be praying for you, but check out this website. Invite them to come to church with you if they're in the area. And I know a lot of us don't live in the area, right? But this is not, the Lord gave me a word a couple of years ago that we do not have a community church. We're not called, and I'm not criticizing anyone who is called to be a little Hallmark town community church. How many love those Hallmark movies where everybody in the whole town runs to the same church and they do, Well, no, we're called to be a commuting church. Amen. Most of us commute from several miles or more away to come to church, right? So in other words, if you know somebody that lives in Sherwood or out towards, Stevenson or in Ridgefield or beyond or Beaverton or wherever, so what? Somebody say, so what? I drove, to Lincoln City for a few days. We just are used to moving around. So it's like we have to help people come to the realization, Sunday's a great day to drive anyway. There's not as much traffic normally, that kind of thing. So just somebody say, come on in. Come on in to church. Get some encouragement. Have a church family. A lot of people have family issues, and they just need a church family, too, that's supportive, and just there's so much value to being in the body of Christ. But just have that with you as a seed to invite people and watch Jesus move. It's amazing the things that he does, right? But guess what? I thought I was done with this message, but I'm not, right? So would you please forgive me? Just kidding, right? So but this is the final message on the I think this is our fifth one, I believe, on forgiveness. I love listening to Keith Moore and he'll be on a subject for months. Like, this is our 18th installment of, it's like, wow. And he just keeps going deeper and deeper and all. But for me, a lot of times it's, you know, maybe 7 or 8 at the most, and some are 4 or 5, some are 1, right? And this time of the year is always, I enjoy it because we're coming toward the end of a year and the beginning of another year, right? And so we have Christmas, we have Thanksgiving. So this is sort of our final series of the year. And it's interesting how God does these things, right? But I really felt stirred to minister on the subject of forgiveness, because as Christians, and especially Christians that live in 2025 and beyond, somebody say, and beyond, right? We're going to have to be really, 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 really good at being quick to forgive. Because if you haven't noticed, there's a world out there that, you know, in many cases doesn't just not agree with Christians, but even despises Christians. Some might even be in our own families in some cases, right? And we just have to be really quick to just forgive people. Amen? How many know that people that aren't saved, and some of them might even be saved, but they're just, you know, they're not in the Word, they're just goofy out there. But specifically for people that aren't born again, we have to lower our expectations of people that are not born again. And we live in a world that's, you know, in our country, there's certain leaders that are almost like, I've heard the term Marxism in the past few, and it's absolutely true. Socialist, communist, there's a strategy to divide this nation, to specifically divide the family, even divide the church, divide us by whatever nationality, skin pigmentation. I was doing business out in Lake Oswego this past week, and a lady that's lived there for 50 years, and she said, you know, I remember when African-American people couldn't live here. I was like, are you, I mean, my mouth must have dropped open. And she was really sweet, and she was like ashamed of it. She was like, yeah, I would tell my friends back then that I live in Lake Grove. And she said, and my friends would be like, I've never heard of a Lake Grove. I've heard of Oak Grove. But are you talking about Lake Oswego? No, not Lake Oswego. And I got out my phone, and sure enough, the state of Oregon, when it was founded in 1859, during the time of the Civil War, right? No African Americans at all allowed in the state of Oregon. This is nuts to think about, but how many know that spirit is still around? And the party, the political party that seems to think they're not that, are exactly that. Because they're the ones that still want to divide us. But even over in Lake Oswego, there's some great, beautiful people that live in Lake Oswego now, right? But that spirit is still around, hovering around, right? There were days, even as they started to back off of those things, that they had a time where they said, okay, all right, we'll let you come, in Asians or African Americans specifically. You can come and work here, but when the sun sets, you're out of here. Are you kidding me? Right? Crazy stuff that the devil has tried to do in our nation. And he might have changed the wallpaper on it, but he's still the same devil. Right? And so we have to be people as believers that stand directly against any form of Marxism that comes in to divide people based on race. Have you noticed gender? Dividing people on gender, even questioning their own genders. We have to be real quick, people, to not get so quickly offended at somebody because they're acting psycho. Because they're under the control of a demonic force. And my Bible says, greater is he who's in me. And so it's my job as the Christian to be able to say, you know what? I recognize that that thing that that person is dealing with, I mean, we saw women holding hands yesterday at the Woodburn Mall, right? There's all sorts of crazy stuff going on around us all the time, oppressing, trying to oppress and push it on children. And it's easy, because that's the devil's design, is to make you mad at people. Even in our schools, right? They work overtime to tell kids, if you're a white kid, then there's something wrong with you. Right? And even if you don't believe that, even if people don't believe that, it creates this friction between people of different races. Creates it. That's what Marxism does, creates the strife. Right? So even if we don't believe that and shun that, it creates this almost standoffishness toward people of, you know, whether they're Spanish people, you know, whether they're African American people, whether they're Asian people, whether they're, you know, whatever kind of people it is. It's a strategy of the devil, and we need to be aware of his strategies and be above it. Somebody say, rise above it. You remember the story of Noah's Ark? When the whole world was flooded, those in the ark rose above it. Somebody say, stay in Jesus. Stay in Christ. Do not hate people or be offended at people because they talk different, look different, act different. No, they're the reason he came. Amen. And I love, church ought to be the most diverse group of people, not, you know, religiously diverse, but, you know, nationalities. There ought to be people of all nationalities, because that's how heaven's going to be. Amen. Amen. I remember when I was probably 6 years old, I was in North Portland, my dad was playing softball, and I was on a playground, and I had this big blonde afro back then, and everybody would make fun of me about it, but nowadays, I'm actually happy about it, because people my age, some of them don't have hair anymore, right? So I can still grow it and just kind of look at them, nod, shake it around, right? But I was on this playground, and there were maybe 8 or 10 or 12 African-American kids my age. And I was like, wow, how cool is this? People that don't look like me. How boring would the world be if everybody looks just like me, right? And I was like, new friends that don't look like me. And I was excited. Well, one of them turned out to kind of be the ringleader of his friends, decided he didn't like me. And I was like, let's go down the slide together. And all this, he wanted to pick a fight with me. And I just didn't get it. I'm like, what? What's the? And you know, there was you know, several of him and his friends. Well, almost all of his friends. There might have been one or two that were sort of supporting him, but he was out on a limb by himself. He was, you know, kind of the leader, right? And a couple of them, bigger kids, were like, man, he's cool. He's all right. He's okay. But yet they weren't going to stop him, right? And so I'm just like, hey, I'm sort of backing up. And I look, as a kid, I remember as a kid looking for an adult. And I looked over, and on a park bench, there was an elderly African-American man. And the look in his eyes at me was anger and hurt. He had no, he was looking at me with anger and hurt in his eyes. And I understood immediately, people that look like me have hurt people that look like them. I understood. And I was also really fast. So I took off running, man. But guess what? This kid, he was fast too. And he caught up with me and kind of slide tackled me, and I bounced off my head, and I'm just laying there looking at the sky, and he was satisfied, ran me off the playground. And my dad said later, he's like, I was out playing in the game, and all of a sudden I see Steve being chased by this African-American kid. And he saw I was okay, right? But somebody said you have to be quick to forgive people. I understood as a six-year-old, the Holy Spirit showed me as a six-year-old why. Amen? I also knew that wasn't okay, but I also knew, man, the Lord's going to have to help me in dealing with people, right? And I forgave in my heart. I never held anything against anybody back then, but I learned something, right? And so we have to be really quick, even if people are mean toward us as a Christian or whatever. They treat you rudely. And I know that's not everybody. You know, I've shared in the business that I've been in, and the one man that got really angry with me to the point that he left our business group, our networking group, because of me saying something supportive of Charlie Kirk and the sacrifice that he made taking a bullet for people like me that believe in faith, family, and freedom, and how that changed. I wasn't talking about them. I was just saying how much it changed me. And this man wanted an apology from me. How dare you bring that up? And he happens to be a retired veteran. I don't understand. Right? But the Lord made it clear to me, you don't apologize for what you said, but also don't hold anything against him. Right? And there were multiple other people. There were maybe four or five others that were offended. I still don't understand that. And others that were just like, oh yeah, it's just, that's who Steve is. So what? And I mean, that's how we have to live in this world. The world says, yeah, this is how I am. So what? So Christians, as Christians, we just got to say, you know what? I got Jesus in my heart. So what? So what? You're not in the closet. Neither am I. Right out in the open. I am Christian right out in the open. I was getting a coffee yesterday, or whatever it was, day before yesterday at Lincoln City. And it's just coffee shop they have there. It has really, I mean, I go get a coffee and it has a weird spiritual vibe. You're walking to a store and it's like there's weird spiritual vibes going on. It's like, I'm standing there waiting for my coffee and I have this, Lacey got me this WWJD sweatshirt and I have my Flashpoint hat on, right? Which I had people complimenting that, Christian people. Fine. And this guy walks up to me, I'm waiting for my coffee and he's like, nice shirt. Like, what? Hey, how you doing? He's a youth pastor in Fairview. And so we're talking and fellowshiping. So somebody say, we're not alone, man. So what? We start talking out loud. Somebody say out loud about Jesus. Not pointing fingers at everybody in the room. We're talking audibly about how he's changed me. Oh, yeah, man, Jesus, yeah. What would Jesus do? You know, that asking that question has helped me more than once, man. We're just going back and forth. Somebody say, so what? Amen. So being quick to forgive and just living out your faith. Lead with your faith. But refuse to allow the offense of the nuttiness of whatever it is the devil's doing on them to make you mad at them. We ought to turn it on the devil. And if somebody, I've done it before, if somebody walks up and they're acting all crazy and demonic or, you know, manifesting whatever it is, transgender or whatever, I'll just start going, oh, praise Jesus, glory to God. Woo, hallelujah, Jesus. Whoa. They went, what? What? You don't come to them and be like, hey, you know what? If you don't change, you're going to hell, man. No, 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 no. No, just turn the light on. the Christians and alcohol controversy, so-called, right? We have to watch how we act in public. Right? And if Steve's sitting there with a beer in his hand, right? A drink. And then some demonic thing starts happening. I'm like, oh, praise the Lord. They're like, oh, yeah, right, sure, whatever. Or that Peter I know, Paul I know, Jesus I know. But who are you? Somebody say, straighten up. Straighten up. Right? And just I'm talking to me too. Hallelujah. This forgiveness thing is big boy, big girl Christianity. This is not a little thing with God. And some of the, like Andrew Womack says, it's simple, but it's not easy. Well, somebody say, I can do all things through Christ. Right? And part of the prayer the Lord taught us to pray in Matthew 6, our foundation text, verse 12, it says this, and forgive us our debts. Everybody say this, forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors. Right? And then it repeats that in that chapter. Forgiveness. Amen? If I want to be forgiven, then I need to myself be in the act of forgiving others. And that doesn't mean I can just go live like the devil and sin and still be saved because, oh, I forgive you for all your sins, therefore I'm just going to go ahead and sin, man. That ain't what it means. That's not what this means. Right? No. Somebody say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgiveness of our debts as we forgive our debtors, letting go of the wrong and the resentment. Because it tries to get on you, man. The offenses of this world tries to get on us. It's just like walking through a dust cloud and you have dust all over your car. Or you drive through a flock of geese and they poop all over the car. You got to wash the car off, right? And the issues of this world try to get on us and we just have to wash it off. Be cleansed. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want to talk today about the mindset of forgiveness, because it is a mindset. It's a mindset. Somebody say, forgiveness is a mindset. You're setting your mind. That's really, we're talking about the issues of the mind, the soul. A mindset of forgiveness leaves no room for unforgiveness. And I think about this picture of the Rapidy River. If you throw a stick in there or a twig, it's going to get literally flushed out. You won't even see it. And that's how unforgiveness should be. If we are full of the Holy Ghost and the love of God and the power of God and praying in the Spirit and living for Jesus, then any sort of trash the devil tries to throw in there is going to be what? Washed out. So, why? Because you're so full of Jesus, the devil just can't get to you. Like when Shelly and I got engaged, it was 1999. Remember the Y2K threat thing? Everyone was, oh, what about Y2K? Y2K! And we're engaged. We got engaged. What about Y2K? I don't care. I'm in love. I am in love. But yeah, but Y2K, Y2K. I don't care. I could care less. I'm in love. Right? Offenses, right? This and that and this crazy thing. I don't care. Jesus loves me, man. I'm in love with the Lord. I'm in love. That will draw people's attention because those people out there that are practicing this kind of stuff, everybody is looking for one thing, and it's called peace. Right? That's why a lot of these people out there, we had this beautiful beach house right on the beach, and person after person after person after person, a lot of times just them and their dog. Why do people love their dog so much in some cases? Because my dog won't judge me. It's the truth. Yeah. Come on, right? Somebody to say, he loves me. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, so I don't care. Remember, That scene from Elf. I'm in love. I'm in love. And I don't care. Right? We can live in a place like that with Jesus. Didn't you read your medical report? I'm in love. He loves me. But you may die. That means I go to heaven, man. Somebody say he loves me. Forgiveness is a mindset. You see why? There's just no room in a heart like that for any trash the devil tries to throw in. Hallelujah. It just gets flushed out with the love of God. Amen. So a mindset of forgiveness, and this is something the Lord taught me this past year, and I felt like he wanted me to share it with you in a little bit more detail. In this particular portion of the Lord's Prayer, and I use it, as I've shared many times, as an outline that I learned from Larry Lee back in the day. And Larry Lee's still out there. I found a YouTube video and showed it with Lindsay. Great man of God, teaching the Lord's Prayer as an outline back in the 80s. It changed my life. And I still use it today. But the specific part of the prayer where we come to forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors, the Lord added something to my prayer this year. And it's these words. He said, I will not, you're supposed to, you know, when I pray, I say, Father, and really in Christ, somebody say in Christ, right? And I believe that's going to be a big word for our Christmas teaching this year is the word Christ. And also into next year, I believe a big part of our theme or word for our church for next year is going to be in Christ. Amen. Just so you know. But this particular part of my prayer grew. In Christ, I will not have a victim mindset, a vengeance mindset, or a violation mindset. He taught me if you get that down, forgiveness really has no place to get in. Because why do we hold things? Because you're picking on me. A victim mindset, right? Or you take offense to somebody and think, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you now, right? Holding things against people because of what they... And I'm not saying it's okay what people... Some people do crazy stuff to hurt people. And they may never apologize about it. Somebody understand, though, them apologizing has nothing to do, somebody say nothing to do, with you forgiving them. And it doesn't mean that you're their doormat. And they can continue to do that. But what you're doing is you're freeing yourself by forgiving them. Right? And then a violation mindset, constantly criticizing. Constant criticism of other people and even our own selves. Somebody say, let's be free of these things. Victim mindset, first of all, and you can read these, the full chapter. I put the full chapter there for you to do kind of as homework, because I feel like we're on a track with the Holy Ghost here, so I'm going to give you these key verses, but you can read the bigger segments on your own. Right? Somebody say this. In Christ, I will not have a victim mindset. Because see, if I see myself as a victim all the time, then I'm going to be holding things against people because you owe me something. You picked on me. The body of Christ, we have to grow up and not allow a victim mindset to settle in. And a good Bible verse for this. Let's read this one. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, because this is what we've just been talking about here. 1 John, which I believe comes before 2 John. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is already in the world. Here's the key verse. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears. So that's something to understand about people that aren't born again, or even Christians that are more secular in their thinking, right? They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world. So don't be surprised and shocked. Don't be surprised and shocked at the craziness. They're just acting like the world. Amen? They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, right? But that verse 4, somebody say, I am of God. I'm his child. I overcome because he who is in me is greater than he who is in them. Greater is he who's, so therefore I'm not a victim. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Somebody say this. In Christ, I will not have a vengeance mindset. Look at Romans chapter 12. We got a few minutes to look at these, don't we? Romans chapter 12. In Christ, I do not have a vengeance mindset. I think a lot of this, you know, you see different extremes of these things. You think of social media. They attacked me, so I'm going to attack them. Well, I'll just unfollow you. I'll show you. It's the same spirit, right? But especially, I think, with men, it can be easier to the fight thing. I want to hurt that guy, right? We have to shake this stuff off. It's immaturity as Christians, right? So verses 9 through 21. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. See, all these things are, what are they showing me? What I should be full of. If I'm so full of this stuff, there's no room for offense. Because why? Because I'm full of something else. Hallelujah, right? Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to, I'm so busy serving God, I don't have time to get offended at you. Why? Because I'm busy doing other things. Somebody say, I'm busy doing other things. I'm about my Father's business, so I don't have time to think about vengeance against you. Right? Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, somebody say, as much as depends on me, I live peaceably with all men. Beloved, here this is the key one. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Somebody say, there's simply no room. I am wall-to-wall God, so there's no room, no time, literally. I have no time to think about revenge in my mind because there's no space there. My mind is fully engulfed with the words of God, with the love of Jesus. And all he gave me there a list of things to be doing. Somebody say, glory to God. There's no space in my mind for a vengeful mindset. Amen. And if that person doesn't repent, they're going to get it anyway because God knows how to get through to them. And I pray that they get saved. I pray that it's redemptive. But how many know our Heavenly Father does a way better job at getting through to somebody than you ever could? Amen. And also say this, in Christ, I do not have I will not have a violation mindset. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's hear what Jesus has to say about this. Now, don't you know that if anybody had a right to be offended at people, it was our Lord and Savior? Right? And it didn't mean he was a wuss. He just didn't come after people like that. When his own cousin was beheaded, martyred, executed, what did he do? He went, got by himself, not because he was plotting revenge. He went off by himself to pray, and then he was moved with compassion, and the acts of God literally flowed out of him, bringing life to people around him, and miracles, and healings, and amen. That goes opposite to our flesh. Hallelujah. But look at this. Matthew 7, verses 1 through 6. Judge not, this is the key one here, judge not that you will that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. So we have to avoid feeling like we are the judge against people. Right? Judging everything. Having a violation mindset. We watched one of my favorite classic movies, Gregory Peck, Moby Dick. We watched it at the beach. The ocean's right outside the door, and we're watching them hunting down the white whale, the Moby Dick, right? And Ahab, if you know the story, Ahab was vengeful, and the vengeance in his heart literally ate him up. But his assistant, Starbuck was a violation mindset guy. His whole thing was, God is going to kill us for this. Because we're not doing what we're supposed to. We're chasing this whale. It's all about vengeance. Therefore, the judgment of God is going to fall on. How many? There's a truth to that. If we don't repent, we don't turn back. But see, in the moment where Ahab was executed and the guys that were with him and they all died, right? Starbuck had a window. He had a window where he could have turned the boats around and said, oh, look what happened to Ahab. Perhaps if we turn around and go back, there'll be mercy. But no. Starbuck, with all of his guys, he said, basically in his mindset, this is what, we're already going to die anyway. God's mad at us. The judgment of God is on us. So let's just go get him. And they all go to their death. Because Starbuck had this violation mindset. We've crossed the line. We'll never go back. How many know, as long as someone's breathing, they have not crossed the line yet. The line is called death. As long as someone is breathing and they have a pulse. I asked a good friend in sales once. That is in this business group that I'm in. What would be a good business referral for you? And her reply was this: anyone with a pulse. Hey, if they have a pulse, right? It's not too late. Don't just say, God already hates me anyway. I might as well just go all in. Then you're going to die. And we have to watch that about ourselves. There's people that I know that had issues in their life, and because they crossed lines and certain, they figured, well, I crossed the line, it's too late for me. It's not too late for you. Turn around and go back to the ship. Come back to Jesus. So a violation mindset needs to be, we have to eradicate that from our thinking. Amen. And to not act like other people are just too far gone. No, they're not. No, they are not. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now let's look at, as we close here, three things that he says we should have, right? Somebody say this, in Christ, I will have a virtue mindset. A virtue mindset. Philippians 4, let's take a look at that. Philippians chapter 4, if you have your Bible. Philippians chapter 4, 2 through 9. He's imploring, Paul's imploring his associates to be of the same mind in the Lord. I urge you also, true companion, to help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Does always include always? So if I'm rejoicing always, where's the room for offense? Right? Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And here's the key verse here. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, somebody say virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I practiced that the other day when I was doing business in downtown Portland. I had to look. It's like, Lord, is there anything praise? And, you know, I got to, it always comes back to Steve. Is there anything in your own heart that needs to be changed? Yes. Then why are you so critical about this city then? And I started saying, Lord, look at this. Look, the street still has lines on it. And the cars that are supposed to be going that way are going that way. And the cars, they're obeying the law. There's buildings that aren't on fire. That lady that walked by, she has clothes on. Woo! Praiseworthy, virtuous. Right? Meditate on these things. Instead of, they crossed the line, it's all going to hell. No! Virtue. Virtuous. Somebody say, chew on virtue. Be a good name for Christian gum. Virtue. Tim Hawkins would like that one. Who's Tim Hawkins? Look him up. And you're welcome, by the way. Judges chapter 6. Somebody say, I will have, in Christ, I will have a valor mindset. Looky here. Judges 6, 11 through 16. Isn't God good to us? Right? Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash. Okay, we'll move on there. While his son threshed wheat, Gideon, right? We're talking about Gideon. Somebody say Gideon. He was threshing wheat in the wine presses in order to hide it. Somebody say in order to hide it from the Midianites. So these people are under oppression. Right? And the angel of the Lord appeared and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Angel talking to Gideon, who's threshing wheat to hide it from the Midianites, right? Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, can you imagine giving back talk to an angel? If he is with us, Gideon might have looked like, you know, we talk about the Lord of the Rings, like a hobbit. Compared to the angel? If he is with us, he's threshing his wheat, right? Why, right, has all this happened to us? He's not thinking virtue, right? He's thinking issues. Where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered. The Lord has, really? Really, the truth is of the matter is the Lord didn't. Well, he did. He says he did. But the reason was because they forsook the Lord, right? Amen. Well, let's get back to it. There I go. Being violation mindset with Gideon. Oh, come on, Steve. Get back to the word, right? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him. Now notice that we were talking about an angel, right? But then look at this verse. Verse 14. It doesn't say angel, does it? It says, the Lord turned to him and said. So he's talking about back talking to an angel. This is the Lord he's talking to, right? And he said to him, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Somebody say glory to God, right? So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest, and I'm the least. So see, here's a man that thought way too little of himself, belittling himself. He had issues against himself, right? So somebody say, latch onto this word, right? Jesus, in Christ, you are a person of valor, not a person who has all these reasons why you don't qualify. I think we could all make lists of things, reasons why we don't qualify to this or that. But how many know that's that our God calls us people of valor? So we need to obey him and just simply say what he says about our own selves. Somebody say, I'm a person of valor. Here's the key, in Christ. Hallelujah. I refuse to think of myself as a peon, right? As weak, as the least. Amen. And for me in my own life, that's been my big, and I've heard Rick Renner say this too. You have to conquer yourself, right? Turning loose of issues that we have against our own self is vital in living a life of forgiveness and freedom in Jesus. Hallelujah, right? So somebody say, I have a valor mindset in Christ. Only in Christ I have a valor mindset. And then finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, say, in Christ I will have a victory mindset. Man, I like watching the Victory Network. I don't look for networks called the Defeat Network, the Poverty and Sickness Depression Network. That's why people turn off the news anymore, because all it is a cesspool of negativity, and a lot of it they're just creating. If you'll notice, that's why I can't advise enough to watch Flashpoint, Victory News, CBN News, Gospel Truth Network News. Why? Because they're going to give you the truth. If you watch and they'll play clips, all of them are saying the same things. It's like they're reading the same prompts. They're using the same verbiage, the same language, and it's all of it. The term fake news is true. And, you know, unless you're watching the weather. And sometimes I see commercials, and this time of the year I'll start, okay, maybe I'm interested in the weather now. And some of these guys, like in Portland, have been there forever. And I was like, praise God, they're still there. They're still going. I remember a number of years ago when it snowed, and it was on a Sunday, and churches were having to close their services. And I can't remember the name of the guy. I don't know if he's still there or not. I think it was Coin, Channel 6. And he was like, so remember, next week, it's double tithes. He said that right on the news. Local news, right? And some of these guys, they're in, you know, weather, hey, right on. But a lot of the stuff that's coming out is just, I think Americans are just done with it. Right? Amen. So we got to get over the fake news of the devil and stay with the truth of God's word. Amen? Hallelujah, right? But that's why Victory Network is a great place to go. And those lessons are coming right from the Word of God, right? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 58. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. Oh, this is great news. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And isn't that just the opposite of what we hear a lot of times is the devil's taken over. I'm taking over New York City. I'm taking over this city and that city. And somebody say lies. That is simply a lie. The Muslims are going to take the world over. Lies. It's a lie. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Here's our key verse here for this particular victory mindset. But everybody say this. Thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. See, if I'm always abounding in the work of the Lord, we've read a lot of that just now, there's no place. Somebody say there's simply no place for unforgiveness, resentments, offenses, junk. Because why? You try to throw a stick in that, it's going to get moved. I love the Oregon coast because you can watch people go out there and make pictures in the sand and draw things in this, or put a log, and it moves, like it disappears. Why? Because the water came over it and removed it. Glory to God. That's the power of God, and that's the power of His Word in our lives. But we have to be real serious about sticking with the Word of God and sticking with Jesus every day. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Everybody, just let's all stand up right now as we close and just say, thank you, Lord, right, for giving me the victory through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Christ, I will have a virtue mindset, a valor mindset, and a victory mindset. It's a mindset. Just like depression and sorrow and grief and sin is a mindset, serving God is a mindset. It doesn't mean there are no issues. We live on planet issue, for sure. And that's why we have to stay plugged into Jesus every moment of every day. It's our life source. Just in the same way a scuba diver wouldn't dare drop down into the water too far without the oxygen tank. Somebody say the Christian life is not snorkeling, it's scuba diving, right? So take Jesus with you. He is the air we breathe. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. And we take a moment right now in Jesus' name to check our hearts for any unforgiveness, any of these areas we spoke about today. And we bring that to you. We bring it all to you. We are your people, your children, your family. Your sons and daughters, your saints, your faithful. He told me that this morning in prayer as I was getting ready. He's like, you're among my faithful. And that blessed me because I don't always feel faithful. My mind wanders, you know, say something dumb, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like, to know that that's how He sees me, it changes me to know that. Somebody say, I'm among your faithful, Lord, and I choose you. I put my faith in you as the faithful one. And we receive the power of that living water. While we're all in this place of prayer, John, I believe it was John chapter 4. Just stay with me here. I heard this ministered recently at, I don't know if it was Eagle Mountain or somewhere, but this directly applies to what we're talking about. The woman at the well. This was the Torah portion. This was part of the Torah portion on Saturday that Rabbi Shulam, or actually this was on a website, but this was the gospel portion, John chapter 4. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Somebody say, get over it. Don't hold things against people because they're different, right? Jesus answered and said to the woman, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Somebody say, this is living water. And it washes out dead things, cleanses me of impurities, removes even the memory of sins, removes the offenses, removes, makes it disappear, wipes it away from remembrance. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answers and said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I give him will become in him, somebody say in me, a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. That's what's in you in Christ, a fountain of water springing up, everlasting life. And if you try to jam something into a spring, a fountain, it just shoots it right back out again. That's the power of God on the inside of us. Let's just take maybe 15, 20 seconds and allow that water to flow by praying in the Holy Ghost. Just say, "Father, I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of praying in other tongues." Just begin to pray out. Kola rebe bishito kore nekela. Sholo vabi kila rave bishito la lava bikende. He ya la lavama, sholo lavama kalede ne shita lavama shondolo de keda. I believe the Lord would remind us that a lot of these things require force. The devil forced his way in with that offense. And it's going to require the force of the Holy Ghost to get rid of it. Praying in the Holy Ghost, I'll say it again, praying in the Holy Ghost is releasing that force on the inside of you to drive it out. Pray much in the Holy Ghost throughout your day, while you drive, in the morning, at night, in the noontime, walking through the grocery store. When you sense by the Holy Ghost, he'll show us when our minds start to wander off. He'll draw us back to a place of prayer and intercession in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen.